Comerica's exciting news for 2024. Introducing our brand new bonus show platform. Accessing all the bonus content is now a breeze. You asked us, we listened. Visit TMOSstore.com, click on bonus, and voila! It's the seamless way to snag that fifth hour and show love for your favorite podcast. Thanks a bunch, and happy holidays.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. It's the Mike O'Mara Show. And now, the best of O'Mara. Here's Rob.
Thank you, Dude Walker, and hello. It's me, your old buddy Rob. I hope you survived Christmas. This is the best of the Mike O'Mara Show, and it is Boxing Day. So, today, only segments featuring Max Baer Sr. and Sugar Ray Leonard. I'm kidding, of course. No, today is the day after Christmas on the Bot Moss Get Together, episode number 3187. Thank you for taking the time to click and download and stream and whatnot. We've got a great, great best of for you today. Today is has got a series of segments that I love because I wasn't here when they first ran. So when we listen to these today, it's like the first time I heard them. We reference it a lot. It's when Oscar went up and hung out with the Bush family and Kenny Bunkport on Walker's Point in Maine. A great story, and it's a lot of fun. Also, even though we just observed our 14th anniversary? Yeah, we look back on our 8th anniversary. But let's start with one of my favorite moments ever on the Mike O'Mara Show, because it happened out of the blue and very suddenly. For years, I've been trying to get Wayne Newton, the King of Las Vegas, to do the Mike O'Mara Show. I would send emails and contact his people and reach out constantly, and nothing ever came of it until one morning after we recorded the show, Wayne's people called and said, Wayne can do today at like 3 p.m. your time. It's the only time he can do it. And I said, we'll make it happen. So I called Mike. Mike went to his home studio. I was still in Washington, D.C. Oscar was doing his real job, so he couldn't even be part of this. So one afternoon, Mike and I sat down and talked to Wayne Newton. Pretty damn cool. And you know what? A good interview, and I think you will appreciate it. So let's do a little Wayne Newton talking right here on the best of the Mike O'Mara Show.
I have to be honest with you. I have seen this man twice. I have seen him in Las Vegas. I have seen him at the Birchmere, along with my old radio partner, Don Geronimo, and Rob Spiewak. Remember, we got the suits and ties on, and we went out to see Wayne at the Birchmere? Do you remember that, Rob?
We were the best-dressed crew in the crowd. I know that.
Ladies and gentlemen, I am thrilled beyond words to... I have plenty of words. I am thrilled to welcome the Midnight Idol, Mr. Las Vegas, a legend, a true legend. There are not many of those around anymore. I will tell you, Wayne Newton is on the Mike O'Mara Show. Wayne!
Wayne Newton!
Hey, welcome, guys.
Yay!
How's it going?
Yay, Wayne Newton. Oh, this is so... We've been trying... Rob, how long have you tried to get Wayne Newton to come on the Mike O'Mara Show?
Over 3 years now. I was so delighted to get the email last night that you had some time for us today. Thank you for making the time, sir.
Well, I got to say, I've been looking forward to it, and I'm looking forward to the concert. So, guys, it's a real pleasure.
You can get all the information on Wayne at WayneNewton.com. That's the official site of Mr. Las Vegas. Before we start with anything, I want to get it right out of the way. Wayne, before we get started, can you say anything about Monkey Gate? You don't live at Casa de Shenandoah anymore, but oh my God, one of the monkeys bit a little girl. What's happened since you left? The monkeys have gone insane.
The truth of the matter is I really don't know anything about it. I've never served or anything like that. And so I know less than you guys know because I don't really read the internet a whole lot.
And, right.
So I really don't know anything about it yet.
Don't worry about it, Wayne. I read a lot about it, and it doesn't seem like it's going to be that big a deal, but they're still associating you with Casa de Shenandoah. It's Mr. Las Vegas, still Mr. Las Vegas after all these years. What is the key, Wayne, to doing what you do and continuing to do it, such an amazing run? What keeps you going? What keeps you chugging along? You're still at the top of your game.
I got to tell you that when I was 4 years old, my parents took me to see a Grand Ole Opry roadshow in Roanoke, Virginia. And it was Hank Williams, Hawkshaw Hawkins, and Kitty Wells. And we were so far back in the arena that I really couldn't see the performers. So I found myself looking around at the audience around me. And I saw the happiness that those people brought them. And I looked at my mom and I said, that's what I want to do. And that's what it's been for me, is to try and bring some happiness into people's life that might be a little stressed out about everything that's going on. So that's what's kept me going, and it's the look on the audience's face.
You know, when I think of you, Wayne Newton, and I don't know how many years ago, Vegas Vacation was a big hit, a big film hit, but you seem to write the book on not taking yourself too seriously, of understanding that, you know, the man, the image, the Mr. Las Vegas thing. How important was that, not taking yourself too seriously in your career? Because I think it opened a lot of doors for you, didn't it?
No question about it, and there were people that helped me out along the way, like Lucille Ball and Frank Sinatra and Bobby Darin and Jack Benny.
Those names, wow. I love hearing those names.
Because I learned from them, not in a lesson situation, but just observing them. And all of them had a great dignity about them. And the reality of having some notoriety, the thing that goes with that, most importantly, is how you handle yourself in public. So I think I learned it from the masters, and it's always just simply been a part of my DNA.
I'm an impressionist. I feel like I should send you royalty checks. I've been doing it. You know, I'm a low level one. I'm not one of the biggies. So I mean, you know, I'm lucky to have this podcast, to be honest with you, Wayne. But I've impersonated you for years. Did any one impressionist or impression of you get under your skin? And is there anyone you enjoyed more than the others? I mean, you've been impersonated forever. Is there anything that stood out with that? I mean, you have to take it as fun, I guess, right?
Well, you have to, and you have to also realize that some of the people, present company excluded,
thank you.
Some of the people do not handle themselves well in public. And we had a Wayne Newton impersonator in Vegas some years ago that was just rude to everybody. And it would, you know, it would come back to me that Wayne Newton was at a barber shop at the Riviera, and he was rude to everybody.
Oh, God.
So I had to send the guy a note, and I did, because it wasn't only my persona that he was messing with, but the importance of his own career. You know,
I'm hearing you say this, and I asked you a question based on me doing an impression of Wayne, and then I realized you're so big, and we're so thrilled to have you on the show. There are Wayne Newton impersonators,
yes, exactly.
Like Elvis impersonators.
Like
that's
career
what
stuff,
he was
yeah.
talking about. Rob, I know you're thrilled. You've been trying to get Wayne on the show for a long time. It's Rob Spiewak, Wayne.
Wayne,
hey,
it is such a pleasure to chat with you. You brought up some amazing names there. I can't imagine sharing a stage with Jackie Gleason or Lucille Ball, but when you say Bobby Darin, I must ask, I've heard that the song Donkershane, which, by the way, now it's 56th anniversary of being a song that everyone knows. Congratulations on one of the greatest hits of all time. Is it true Bobby Darin brought Donkershane to you?
He did. What he did is he saw my first television show, national television show, which was Jackie Gleason.
The Jackie Gleason Show!
He saw that, and he checked around to see where I was working, and we were at the lounge at the Copacabana just so we could stay in New York and do more Gleason shows. And so he came to my opening, which was the next night after the first Gleason show, and he sat in the audience, and I walked out, and I looked back because it was a small room, and I saw Bobby Darin sitting there. Well, I went into temporary paralysis, and I don't remember what I sang or said or anything like that. But when I finished the first set, I went to walk off stage, and there was a waiter standing there. And he said, Mr. Darin wants to meet you.
Cool.
And so I went back, and Bobby stood up, and he said, I'm Bobby Darin. And I said, I know. He said, well, I saw you on the Jackie Gleason show last night. And he said, I came here to ask you a question. And I said, yes, sir, go ahead. And he said, are you recording? I said, no, sir, I'm not. He said, well, you are now. You and I will be in the studio next week, and I will be producing your records from this point forward.
Wow.
And that's
so
how it happened?
Next week, in a studio, the song he handed me was Don Cashane. So while I was learning it with the pianist of the session, Bobby was working with the rest of the band to make sure that the arrangement was exactly the way he wanted it. And I found out about a year after Don Cashane had been released and became a monster of a hit that the song was truly written for Bobby Darin to record and follow his hit of Mack the Knife with it.
Oh, my God. And it was your signature song.
When you think of the two songs, it makes all the sense in the world.
Yep.
Don Cashane, darling, Don Cashane, thank you for all the joy and pain. Picture show, second balcony, was the place we'd meet. Second seat, go Dutch treat, you were sweet.
Wayne, you're so nice to join us, and we want to make sure that we get our plugs in. Your show, The Ongoing Engagement, Up Close and Personal, is that that's a different kind of show than your normal show that you do in the bigger theaters?
Well, actually, our normal show is a small part of the Up Close and Personal show.
Okay.
But because we use just one or two clips from the past, as they say.
Right.
I think the biggest difference is when we're doing Up Close and Personal, we use a lot of tracks and three musicians.
It's Mondays, Tuesdays, and Wednesdays. We've only got you for 5 minutes more. I want to get these in. Let me see. I got so many questions. I've had Wayne Newton. I don't want to miss this opportunity.
Mike, he told you to present yourself well. Relax.
Briefly, the biggest single change in Vegas that you've seen over the years, if there's a sentence you could give us on that, what's the biggest change in your since the old days?
I think that it would be the lack of personal attention that some of the casinos give to the customer. When it became corporate owned as opposed to individually owned or that kind of thing, then of course the corporations have a totally different idea of what Las Vegas is all about. And, so the biggest difference I have seen is that, you know, everything must show a profit and everything must do this and everything must do that. And so they've moved away from what made Las Vegas great, in my opinion.
Yeah, the stars. Do you look back on your career, reflect on anything that you would do differently? Any regrets at all? Something, if I hadn't done that, you know, you've had a great career professionally. Right. It's been wonderful. Anything you look back on with any regret whatsoever?
No, it was interesting because I think in retrospect, as I reflect on it, the things that I thought were going to ruin my life and career that happened in my life so far turned out to be blessings when I look back on them now. Like when I got in a big fight with the head of Harris Club in Lake Tahoe and asked him if some of the acts that came in his main showroom, some of them don't have opening acts, so could I be their opening act and just pay me the same thing you're paying me to work the lounge? And he became furious, and he said, you will never work our main room, and called me a lot of names, and he pounded the table, got up, and walked off. And so that's when I decided never to play another lounge. And so I called my manager, and I said, Tom, you're going to have to find this work somewhere, but it won't be in a lounge because I won't do it anymore.
Worked out for you, though, I think.
Yeah, ultimately. Well, within 3 weeks is when I met Jack Benny, and he asked me to be his opening act. And the irony of that was that the opening show that we were doing together was at Harrah's in Tahoe.
Hey, show business.
Wayne wins.
From Hollywood, the Jack Benny Program, with Jack's guests Wayne Newton and Louis Nye.
You know, Mr. Benny, working with you was an experience that I'll never forget. Whenever I wasn't on stage myself, I'd always stand on the wings and I'd watch you. The way you move your hands and the way you walk.
A lot of people have worked with me and stole my mannerism, you see, but you didn't.
With my voice, I wouldn't dare.
Last question, Wayne. You've been interviewed thousands of times. Has there ever been anything written about you in an article or review where you said, yep, that's me, that's what I'm going for? Or is there something, you know, I mean, when someone gets in at this stage of the career, I like to know, what do you want to be known for? What do you really want to be known for?
I think for me, what I want to be known for is that I never let my personal attitudes about religion or politics get into my show, because I feel like the people do not deserve that.
That's wonderful. And, you know, we've been backstage with you at the Birchmere. I'm going to say this about Wayne Newton. Two things. I've seen the show. You walk out of a Wayne Newton show, no matter what your preconceptions are, saying that is an amazingly tight, wonderful show that you'll see.
Such a great show.
Who you are, you're going to feel that way. The other thing is our personal experience, and nothing changed with this interview. You are an extremely nice guy. And really, we appreciated meeting you. It's great having you on the show. Good luck with everything out there in Las Vegas. Stay away from those monkeys, Wayne.
Yes.
All right, stay away from those.
Hey, now, you got to do me one quick favor.
Yes.
Just promise me that you'll invite me back again with no time limits.
Yeah, I'd love to have you on. Wayne, seriously, we could do the 90-minute podcast just with you, and I will take you up on that, my friend. Thank you very much, Wayne Newton. It was
a
pleasure.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Wayne.
Appreciate it.
Have a great day.
Tickets and info at WayneNewton.com. And I didn't get to ask him about Johnny Carson. I know you're going to tell me about that,
next
but that's
time,
okay.
Next time we'll get it. And also, we ran
that's
out of
time.
That's
a great question you asked, Rob, because you have your nerdnik questions that fascinate me, too. I had no idea that whole thing. He loved talking about it. He doesn't get that from anybody.
That's awesome. Little bit of chill going on right now. That was pretty cool to talk to him. And the one thing we wanted to ask him is, since he really only works Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday at Caesars, we could have him open for us at the 10th anniversary. So,
hey, you know what? Hold on.
I'll be in touch. Don't think I won't.
Be in touch. Just I'm talking 30 seconds.
That's all.
Just to come out, ladies and gentlemen, I would. No, he's not going to do it. We can't pay him. That's the way it goes. But that's Wayne Newton. I hope you enjoyed that, ladies and gentlemen. Happy weekend, everybody. We had Wayne Newton on the show. We'll be right back with more fun and thrills on the Mike O'Mara Show.
And welcome back to Bot Moss, the best of the Mike O'Mara Show on this Boxing Day. I referenced this at the front of the show, so let's get started. We are blessed in our business. When I speak of us, I mean Oscar and Mike and me and everyone in broadcasting. We get to do a lot of times things that are so cool that would not be afforded someone in another line of work. Well, Oscar, as you know, in addition to being co-host of the Mike O'Mara Show, runs Podville Media. And because of that, he has his fingers in a lot of jam pots, as my grandmother would say. He's involved in a lot of shows. And one of the greatest associations we have at Podville Media is with the George Herbert Walker Bush Foundation. And they had several podcasts. They still have several podcasts associated with Podville Media. And Oscar had to go to Kennebunkport, Maine, where the entire Bush family summers to help set up for a podcast. And it's just a fascinating look on what it's like to go and hang out among one of the American political dynasties. And I can say from personal experience, really great people. They are the nicest family. And this is Oscar and the Bushes, not like, you know, landscaping. Oscar and the Bush family on the best of the Mike O'Mara Show.
Oscar Santana was on a vacation, but there is an element of this vacation that even I do not know about, because you have been working with some pretty rarefied air when it comes to Podcast Village. Just for the purpose of background, we talk about Podcast Village all the time, but I never give you a chance to really explain, outside of taping this show, what goes on there. There are people from everywhere that come to Washington, D.C. and do this out of our studios, our facilities in Washington, right?
We are, I would say, blessed to be in the position that collectively, you know, spawning out of the Mike O'Mara Show and connecting with Charlie Burney through the Smith School of Business when I went back to business school and launching Podcast Village, that we have some pretty high-profile clients. And, you know, by design, when we first started, as we're coming up on our two-year anniversary, Mike, which would probably be, you know, at the end of this year, we don't always talk about all of our clients. Some people we have to ask permission if we're going to discuss right. them here on the show. And it's really out of respect to the client relationship that we have. Now, I've been cleared to discuss certain aspects of the show because it's part of my trip, because it's part of our life. And that's what we do here on the program.
Yeah, this is exciting.
We are blessed and we are happy. We're excited to work on the George Herbert Walker Bush Presidential Library podcast, 41. It's through the George and Barbara Bush Foundation. And one of the elements of this broadcast is to set up remote broadcast points around the country. One of them happened to be coincided with my trip this past weekend to the Northeast, where I was, I think, it's an honor, that's the way I look at it, to be able to actually visit and work at the compound, which is known as Walker's Point or Kennebunkport.
Yeah, you have been, just to, for people yes. that might not be keeping track, you have been down to
College
the
Station.
Library in Texas for 41, the father of W, 43. Mm-hmm. And this trip, you had told me, and I was kind of jealous, to be honest with you, that you were going to be going up to Kennebunkport. And I just thought, everybody remembers the pictures of
HW. The Summer White House.
The Summer White House mm-hmm. up there and the boat and everything. And when you told me that fact that you had been up there, I was very excited for you. But what I didn't expect was some of the stuff that that you got a chance to do. Just to be around this, it's a different world, isn't it?
It's a different world. It's also one of these moments, Mike, and I'm sure you've had them in radio, where you try to remember, you're like, just try to enjoy this moment.
Yeah.
Just enjoy this moment. It's about rarefied air. It's about an honor. It's about making sure you do the job you say you're going to do. And right. and this piece of I guess a quick anecdote. We arrive to Boston. My wife and I drive up on Friday. Say hi to our family. Arrive around 10 p.m. 11 p.m. Have to go to bed early. Wake up.
You're talking about arriving 10 p.m. 11 p.m. in Boston.
In Boston, see my family. Right. My brother's 50th birthday party is Saturday night. My brother-in-law, I'm sorry. He's turning 50. It's a big deal to him. It should be. And it's Mike, it's much like you want your 60th to, you want a celebration, you want a big presence, you wanted something special. He wants something for his 50th.
Yeah, would have loved it. And my gift is my daughter's, my both daughters.
Yeah, but something material. Something, you want like an HGTV.
Still haven't got it. Yeah, I'm going down to get fit for new golf clubs. Thank you. No car, but I'm doing it. I'm doing it this week.
We didn't want to disappoint Mike. I remembered. I said my brother-in-law right. is in town in Boston from Los Angeles with our entire right. family, and my nephew's baptism is Sunday. So Saturday I got a party for his 50th birthday in Boston at a restaurant, and Sunday I have a baptism early morning. What is my window of time to go to Walker's Point? It's Saturday morning of last week.
Yeah, you are give or take 2 hours away.
Bingo. 1:30, 1:40, it says on right. Waze. You know, Waze always lies to you. So I say, I don't want to pull a Mike O'Mara show and be late.
Not this time. George H.W. Bush, for God's sake.
And his family. Right. I get a hot text in the morning at 6:30 in the morning from a family member that says, "Are you?" My initial appointment time was 10 a.m. Mm-hmm. And they said, "Can you move it to 11 a.m.? And we have room for two. We would like to take you and your wife out on the boat, and we would like you to come to lunch with us after we do the work." So that in itself was unexpected. 6:30 a.m.
What did you expect the total time frame would be up there when you got up there? A couple hours, like install some stuff.
Set it all up, test it with the team, and move on. And I'm a solo. I meant my team, my wife and I, right?
All right.
Now, there is a paradigm here where the Latin family steps in. And the entire time I said, hey, be gone for a 3-hour trip, 4 hours tops. I'll be back for this dinner.
I'll
be back for it. Yeah, it's at night. I'm fine with at night, right?
All right, very good.
But it's also this like pack mentality. When the Santanas get together, / Sabalos, / Christostomos, whatever that Greek
last
name
is. That's the priority.
Yes, that's the. So I feel that pang of guilt. Doesn't matter if I'm working, I'm still the youngest,
and I'm working at a president's house,
and I'm making it all about me, the youngest, making it all about him after a 50th birthday party is happening and a baptism. I'm the godfather. And I say to my sister, I was like, hey, I got this hot text. This is 7 a.m. now because I'm up, right? You're up. Everybody's up. Everybody's responsible.
They got to like you. If you're being asked to go out on the boat, they got to dig you.
I think I'm pretty affable, Micah. I'm a good guy.
They got to dig you. They got to dig you.
Which is super, it's kind of surreal. It's what the best way I can put it.
Very cool.
And I say, hey, Tatiana, I don't want to. I'm just giving you a heads up. I'm going to have to meet you probably at the restaurant because I don't know how long this is going to take and I don't want to say no. But I know you guys are prepping for this party. I just talked to Shannon. Shannon, because she's a good wife and knows my family, she says, look, why don't you go alone? I will stay and help with the party planning because I said I would beforehand. I wasn't invited. I didn't know I was going to go the first time around.
She is a trooper,
right?
For doing that.
She was invited. She was specifically invited. Shannon,
that's cool.
We have room for two. We'd love to have to host Shannon and you on the boat to come on out.
Very cool.
So my wife steps up and I said, all right, well, I promise I'll make this as respectful to the family, both families. Got a family here, got a family there, right? A Podcast Village family, got responsibilities, got a family for the Santanas.
I'm Reasley. I hate to interrupt you with this. I just have to say one thing. You can't hear it over my microphone here. I'm reasonably sure that the building next door might have just collapsed. I just heard about a rather sick.
A roof went down?
I don't know what they're doing over there, but unless there's some San Andreas fault thing happening here. All right, go ahead. So your wife decides to hang back with your family, and you're off to Kennebunkport.
I'm off to Kennebunkport.
Very cool.
Which is, and I've never been to that part of Maine. I've been to Bar Harbor. Which I think is glorious and beautiful.
Right.
And I thought it couldn't get any better. Have you ever been to Kennebunkport, Mike?
I've driven through Kennebunkport. I find it too crowded in the middle of the summer. Now, where you go is not crowded because it's special.
There's a
gate.
But
like the town of Kennebunk and all that, it gets pretty crazy down. It's very popular. It's
beautiful.
Closer to Boston.
I've never seen it. I've never even seen it in magazines.
Not too insult anybody you work with, but I'm going to tell you what we refer to that area of Maine as a suburb of Boston. I'm sorry, but that's what we call
it. I could see that. It's close.
You know that I'm 2 hours, I'm almost 3 hours further north where I live up in Maine. So, but I get it. It's still Maine. It's still the coast of Maine.
I've never seen, when we drove up to Bangor, we didn't drive to Kennebunkport.
No.
Okay.
No, you flew to Bangor.
Yes.
And then got off a plane, bought some fireworks, and came straight down.
Boom, bam.
That's
how
what I would
roll.
Describe,
fly.
I would describe that as not a very pretty part of the state. And then when you get down to the coastline, you know, it's very beautiful homes, gorgeous part, rarefied air, as we said before, third time we've said it now. It's special, and it's, you know, it's just a little hop, skip, and a jump from Boston, which makes it cool, too. Right?
So I'm racing to a job, and while you can't necessarily enjoy. You want to make sure you brought all the equipment, everything's set. I'm packed in the Volvo. Mm-hmm. When you turn onto that coastal road, that's when you're like, whoa, this is something out of Central Casting. What movies have been filmed here? The only, that type of, I guess, beauty, natural beauty, I've seen at Acadia National Park. I've seen out west when you're in Malibu, of course. People are going to be like, oh, of course, Malibu's beautiful. No, it's beautiful. Yep. Beautiful.
Of course.
Just never seen anything like that.
Yeah, very, very, very special part of the world. Absolutely.
And you drive up to Walker's Point, and there is a gate with Secret Service, and I am in the Volvo, and I will not go through the security protocol as respect to the family. Yes, get through that, and then you park, and once you're in, you're like, oh my God, I'm here.
Yeah.
It is surreal. The grass is like something out of Disney World. Everything is perfect. And
world leaders, Oscar,
there are
icons of show business. Just hundreds of players have walked those grounds, including presidents of the United States and a president who lives there in the summer White House, George H.W. Bush and George W. Bush and Jeb Bush and Bill Clinton and Barack Obama and people that have been up there. I mean, it's pretty special stuff. It really, really is.
And you want to be a professional. So I'm not taking pictures. I'm not doing any of that. I'm being as professional as possible. I
just picture you wide-eyed, just like with your serious look on your face. Oh, Hello, but no, but never getting over the fact that you know where you are. You get, yeah, you get appreciate it. Stuff,
oh,
and you
God.
Love
this,
Maine.
This
by the
huge.
Way, I knew you love Maine more than anybody else on our crew. So I get it. I understand.
I love Maine. I parked the car. I didn't want to be presumptuous, so I didn't drive to the home I would be working in.
Right.
There is a road that takes you there, but I parked where I would imagine the service and the Secret Service park. And I get out of the car, and I hear a name being called as I'm unpacking the gear.
Oscar!
Now, no. I'm being called a different name, and I won't share the name. And then I look up, and he goes, oh!
Manuel!
No! This is how great this family is. It's Neil Bush.
Okay,
him. And he says, Oscar.
Yeah, I know him on TV.
He says, Oscar. You're coming on the boat today. I'm sorry. I thought you were somebody like it was. There wasn't even another Latin name. It was just another name of somebody else that was there.
He goes, Francisco.
It really wasn't even a Latin name.
I'm kidding.
The idea that he recognized me from College Station, where we initially met months ago.
Right.
And then said, we'll see you on the boat in about 15 minutes. Was like, how does somebody have that? What, like one on one?
Well, the political, just if I can enlighten
yes,
you, the political game. And I have family members that have been in that game. And in fact, I brought this up about names. And one of the things that a lot of these guys, you'll find congressmen, senators, and people that work for them, have this amazing ability. That's part of the deal. The best way of describing it would be in the movie Devil Wears Prada, when Miranda Priestly is going to the gala, and she actually has two books that her people have to study, so she will be able to address everybody by
names.
Name. Most people, they have that natural ability to remember, especially if you're doing something that's important to them. They retain that, and it's kind of cool. That's why a lot of them are good at it, even family members of HW.
Yeah, which special. Was very impressive, and I said, yeah, thank you for the invite. I know that there's a kind of a delay for this installation. We'll work that out. I'm just looking for so-and-so's home.
You were installing insulation in their house?
No,
I would have thought they would have perfect heating.
I know there's a delay for the installation.
Oh, installation.
Yes,
you
yes.
Said insulation.
No.
All right, let's take
okay.
a break.
Hey, folks, we're back with the best of the Mike O'Mara Show. When we last spoke on our last episode, when we last spoke, we were talking about Oscar in Maine helping out the Bush family get ready and set up for a podcast. So let's continue that story. It's Oscar on Walker's Point right here on the best of the Mike O'Mara Show.
So this is exciting. You get on the campus of Walker Point, where basically named after George Herbert Walker. It's very cool, and you're there, and they mentioned to you that you're going to go out on is it the boat, by the way? Is it the boat that we saw on TV, the speedboat?
It's 41's boat. It's the Fidelity. Yes.
Oh, my God.
Now, we've studied.
How special that must be for that family. I feel for them a little bit. That's
well, I mean, and really, if you think about it, this is still fresh. We're talking about just a few months.
Yeah,
right?
and the funeral and just what an incredible moment it was, especially in the times we live in right now. And I remember we all watched it. Who didn't watch that? I mean, an amazing legacy, really.
So for me, it's more about respect. And I think everybody's been in this position before. You just don't want to mess anything up. You just want to get in clean and get out clean and make sure that you do the job you're there for.
Right.
So I meet my contact and we start discussing, hey, do you want to set this up right now or do you want to take some time and then come back later? Like, I'm at your disposal. I'm not going to mention, hey, I got to get back for this 50th anniversary party or 50th birthday.
You can't.
You're still,
you know, new to these folks and you know, this is an opportunity. I get it. I know how the drill works.
So I get there and I'm like, okay. I didn't know we were going to go out on this beautiful speedboat. I thought it was just going to be, because I'm a rube and I don't expect much. So I was like, oh, we're going to go on a little
cruise. Do you think
cruise.
You were going to go out on a dinghy when they called you at 6:30 in the morning and said you're going on a boat ride? Do you think you were going, on a paddle boat? What the hell?
I didn't know what type of boat it was going to be. And I really thought, well, maybe we'll have sandwiches on the water. I don't know how this works, right?
Yeah. Did you think big? Do you think it might be something like this? Didn't you? I would have made, because I've watched this. Being a Mainer,
yes.
Part of the year, I have watched this for years. I've watched him out on that speedboat. That is very cool. Because first of all, that's not the typical boat you see around those waters.
No,
and that's
don't.
What I like. That's what I liked about him, that he kind of danced to his own drummer. He liked speed. He was an air, you know, he was an airman. He actually knew, you know, he loved speed, and that was his way to get out on the boat and do that. So when I've seen that, I always thought, man, what a cool thing it would be to be on that boat.
In his doc that you can find on HBO, it's 41. He talks about the boat and how in his later years, when maybe his body, his health was failing him, the way that he could really, you know, get out there and do what he wanted was on that boat. It would let him maneuver the way he wanted through life on that boat, which is beautiful.
A short sidebar, and I wasn't there, shocker, you know, making my way, wasn't up there when my cousins took my dad out for his last time on the water. And he was on oxygen, and it would be his last summer up there, up in Maine, and they put him on the boat. It's where he was truly happy. There's something about being on that water that is so special to so many people. And, you know, he came back in, and his legs were gone. And so it was really hard for him to walk because the medication that helped him breathe, my dad, helped him, you know, it took away the muscle tone from his legs. So one of my cousin's girlfriends was on the dock, and helped him out of the water, helped him out of the boat. And then later that night, they had him in tears because they were talking about who was Uncle Bill making out with on the dock, because they saw this young girl, this young hot chick with her arms around him. And it was one of those great, great moments they gave him. I'll always love my cousins for doing that for him. But being on the water, that's the special part. And to be on that, I mean, I can't tell you how excited I was when I heard you were going to do this.
So for context, when someone says we have room for two on a boat, you're like, oh, this is a small boat. Large, I don't know how you do head counts on a boat. I don't know enough about it. I know that you probably say, okay, we have four or five people. We're safe with six. I don't know. I'm thinking again.
It's not a lot on a boat like that.
So I don't
not
know.
Not even close.
I don't know.
I'm thinking, what, 10 people maybe? 10, 11 people tops,
12,
maybe less?
12, I think. 12? 12, yes. Yeah.
That's a lot of people on a boat like that. Very cool.
I arrive to the home. They say, oh, you should have just driven up. And mind you, there's a lot of, you know, security. So I was fine where I parked. It was good. Right. I walked up, and walking up that, I would say that road with the Atlantic Ocean to the left of you is gorgeous.
Yeah,
you just look around. You're like, don't look around too much.
Never
just
been there. Get to the house. I can imagine.
I can't believe this is what I'm here and we're doing. This is great. Get to the house. Say, okay, this is perfect. They say, let's get you a jacket because it'll make it cold on the water. They get me a jacket. It's a presidential library jacket. I'm like, this is great. And then I have it in my hand. We walk down.
You get to keep it?
No. Didn't ask to keep it. Didn't ask to keep it.
We're fine. I'm a DJ. Can I keep this?
Can I have this Planet Hollywood jacket, please?
Hey, Clark, can I keep this, please? Can I keep this, please? They got it all together, though. They want a jacket. We got a special jacket. They got like a library of jackets back there. It's very cool.
So,
I'm living vicariously through you, Raider.
Beautiful cottage or bungalow, as they call them, on cottages, depending on who you talk to. And I think it's also wonderful. And it reminds me of your family, Mike, in Maine, where everybody has their own little home and there's a main home.
Yeah.
I knew that there was multiple cottages on the property. I just didn't know how many and how beautiful it was going to be. So
very similar, minus the money and togetherness. Separate those two things and you'd be all set.
The radius of space, though, is probably correct. Where it's close.
Yeah. Very, very, very close. Yeah. You know, it's special. Okay. All right.
We walk down to the dock, which is a private dock, and there is this beautiful speedboat. And I don't know enough about boats, but I recognized the boat from the documentary. And I said, wow, this is an honor, another honor. Yeah. And the family's amassing there. We've got every brother and sister and some nephews and cousins that are going across.
Anybody immediately jump to your, you know, oh my God, I know that person. Is there
anyone? Oh yeah, recognized all of them.
Okay, all right.
It was truly just like, hey, don't fall off this dock. Don't fall off this dock. The boat pulls up. And one of the family members, he throws me the rope like, hey, you're on the side of the dock. Catch this rope for the boat. I, of course, missed the rope. Because I was not expecting that.
I can see your wide eyes.
I was not expecting that. I was like, oh, you just threw me the rope. And these Butterfingers let them slide right through into the water. But let me pick that up, pretend like that didn't just happen.
Hey, it happens all the time. Ropes get wet, no problem. You're cool.
Yes.
No
so I play that off as best I could. I know inside I was dying. Right. And I start, you're like, tie it up. And luckily, Mr. Michael O'Mara taught me how to tie up a boat when I was in Maine.
Do you have a cleat there? Is there a cleat?
There is a cleat.
A cleat. All right.
You taught me how to do that. Okay, so I start pretending that I remember how Michael O'Mara taught me how to tie up a boat because I've got
it's
the front of the boat.
It's funny that you're the guy they're doing. Are you doing this because you're like one of the few men there? Or, I mean, not to be sexist, they doing this to test you?
It's where where I was standing.
Okay.
It's just position. I took the pole position. No, I was at the boat came in. I was at the back of the dock where it happened
to be the stern.
Okay. Where it happened to be my. There were two tie ups for the boat.
Okay. All right.
So that. So cool. I start tying up the younger gentleman who's about to go to college who threw me the rope. Says, "You got
was
that?"
Was he piloting the boat? Was he at the helm? Was he at the controls? Or was he?
He was at the controls. Yes.
Just him on the boat. Was he just?
No,
solo
no. It was him and another family member. And
okay, all right.
He goes, "You got that?" And I'm like, "I got."
I don't know why this detail is so important to me, but it's just I'm picturing the whole thing.
I start putting it all together.
Are they younger? Are these younger people in the family? Or
No, these are siblings. Siblings to Neil Bush.
It's Tito.
No,
it's Tito Bush.
No. It's Neil, Marvin, Doro. Like it
you
is.
You got the whole fam.
And
you're part of the family.
And your boy.
Oh.
Jeb's younger son. We're there,
very
right?
Cool. Very, very cool.
I start tying up, and he goes, "You got so the questioning my tying of, you know, up and down like
are they
the
laughing a little bit?
No. It's just funny. I was like, I'm gonna be honest with you, man. Did this once in my life before. I might have total recall, but you might want to double check.
Okay, that's the right answer.
And he jumps off. He goes, that's pretty good actually. Let me just tighten it up. Done. Get on the boat. I remember one of the family members saying, hey. Do you want to come back here? Because it's going to be a pretty bumpy ride. And I was like, how? He actually says, how is your back? Because if you're good with it, like it's
is
fun.
Is it blowing a little bit out there?
It's blowing a little bit. But also, I wasn't aware where we were going and the rate of speed we were going to go at.
Okay. You're going out to eat, right?
Yeah, we're going to another town to eat.
It's what we do up there. It's fun. It's
on
fun.
The
you
water.
Take a boat. Yes,
I call
cool.
Uber Eats. This is not a life I know.
It's fun.
Be on a speedboat with one of the most powerful families in the world. Ooh, barely tie up a boat. So I wanted to feel the power of the boat. I said, thank you. I'll be right here. I'll hold on if it gets too bumpy.
Where are you standing? Are you in the middle? Are you up by the helm? Like where the controls are? Or are you in the bow?
I'm already in the... is the bow the front of the boat?
The bow is the front.
Okay.
The stern is the...
I'm halfway from the bow to the stern, but sitting on a bench on the front of the boat.
I get it. Okay, all right? I know where you are.
So if you're a boater or whatever you are, a yachter, I don't know what you call
it. Yeah, no, you're a boater. So you want to be up in the front and get the feeling for it.
I want to feel the wind and I want to feel the bumps of the sea. I remember doing this as a younger kid, not on a boat like this, clearly, on a Zodiac.
Right.
It was fun.
Right.
So he says, okay. He goes, just you're welcome. If it gets too bumpy, to come on back. Now, in the front are two like nieces and nephews or grandchildren with their mom, so they're sitting there as well because it's fun to bump up and down. And you know, the rest of the family is smart and they sit in the back. They sit in the back because that's going to be the smoothest ride. The boat takes off, and I'm saying, like, because they have open waters and you've got a captain who knows what he's doing. He like floors it, and we are skimming across the Atlantic. Going to another point in Maine, which I thought was one of the most glorious moments of my life.
Yeah.
Just
there you go.
Surreal.
I'd give anything to trade places with
so
you.
So surreal.
Spectacular. Absolutely spectacular.
And Doral, he goes, you like lobster? Lobster rolls? Lobster rolls good?
No, I hate them. Oh, they're poisonous to me. I'm allergic. No,
I love them. I'm a pescatarian. Anything from the sea. Whatever you want, I'll do.
What do you figure he's doing? 40 knots, 50 knots, something like that? You
know, I think 50 knots, easy.
Yeah,
easy.
Flying.
He was flying, and he was commanding that boat. Like, you know when someone's doing, they've done this before.
Yeah.
They know exactly what they're
doing. It's the best thing in the world. It's a great feeling. Fantastic.
We arrive at this cove, which looks that I didn't even know existed. I don't even know the town. If I had the name, that'd be fantastic.
Right.
But it is this little opening. But when you're driving towards it, it's like, I'm going to sound like a Rube. You think we're going towards these rocks. You're going towards these rocks. You're going towards these rocks. And no, not at all. They know what they're doing.
Sure.
And
they've done it a million times.
You pull into this cove, and I've seen footage online from this little town. It's picturesque. I'm sure it's famous, and I'm just not giving you the name because I'm a Rube. And we pull in, and you can tell right away that people recognize this boat.
Oh,
and they recognize the family.
Of course. Yeah, I know. And it's you.
And me.
It's you on the boat.
Hey,
this is so cool.
Is that the Podfather?
We got to take another break.
Okay,
can you wrap this up when we come back?
I can.
Yeah,
I'll take care of that.
Because I know this is not the best part, right?
Yeah, no,
there's
not the
other part.
Yes,
let's take a break. When we come back, you're at lunch on the Bush's boat, Oscar.
This is surreal.
I love it.
The best of the Mike O'Mara Show. It's me, your old buddy, Rob. And let's have the thrilling conclusion. I feel like an announcer on an old Saturday morning cereal. And I say cereal like a series of shows, not like, you know, Cinnamon Toast Crunch. But let me start again. And now the thrilling conclusion of Oscar and the Bush family at Walker's Point in Kennebunkport, Maine. See, I could do that. That's not so bad. The conclusion of Oscar's story when he was helping out the Bush family on the best of the Mike O'Mara Show.
Between Rob Spiewak going to concerts and you doing this, you guys are having a great summer, and I'm sitting down here in 500-degree weather just living vicariously through you guys. So we left off where you were coming into this little harbor.
Yeah.
They asked you if you like lobster rolls. You notice the people on the dock are looking at the family. This is a big, big deal. You're smart enough to know you're in a special moment here, and this had to be very cool. So what happened?
And you want to take a beat and just say, okay, let's make sure that, you know, this has been a nice, I guess, for early 40 minutes into this. Like, just keep it tight, no missteps.
Yeah,
I don't want to feel, I don't want to sound like a Rube, but this is a big deal. It's a big deal.
Of course, it's a big
deal.
Of course, it's a big deal. And they like you, and you honor that, and you respect that. And I think that's why you're doing so well in this situation. That's probably why you're on that boat in the first place.
Well, I appreciate that, Mike. I appreciate that. So we arrive. The harbor master, who's like 100 feet up because we're down low on the water, says, "Hey, we're full." And by the full, but we can make room for this, we'll make room for the boat, right?
Okay.
Well, the captain says, no, I'll stay back and wait, but I would like to just offload the family, which is...
Right.
Classy move.
Yep.
He could have been
so that room. Tells you all you need to know. Let me tell you what that tells you. I thought immediately, hey, we're the so-and-so family, we're coming in here, make way for... No, that's a sweet deal right there. That tells you that's just the way this family rolls. I'm sorry, it's a big deal, folks. I know you might not think so, but it is, because they could easily probably get their own special spot that would be blocked off if they called ahead. That's not the way. They don't want to displace anybody else. They're just dumped. I love that.
It was a little back and forth.
Right,
hey, I got a sailboat coming in, but it's okay. Like, you guys, and they're like, no, we're gonna wait. We just want to offload the family and our guests.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, and I love the urgency of he pulled up and he said, off, everybody off, everybody. Like, it wasn't like, hey,
take
your time.
Yeah, because another boat's coming in and he wants to honor that. This is Neil that's at the helm, probably?
Yes.
Okay. Very cool, Neil.
Wasn't
Very
that cool?
Cool.
Like,
yeah,
I was like,
cool.
All right, so we all get off
the
boat.
Absolutely, I get it. They didn't need to do that, believe me.
Yeah, it was totally cool. We walk up, they go to a local restaurant that they know and they love. They arrive, Dora looks back, says, clam chowder? I'm like, sure.
Yeah, the standard. There you go.
Mike, I've never had clam chowder in my life after all these years.
Right?
I was like, yeah, lobster rolls, I'm good.
Different chowder, isn't it? Is it better than anything you've ever tasted?
Well,
yeah. They do. Listen, there's one thing food-wise that you will not get in the rest of the country. You won't. I'm sorry. You won't. It doesn't exist. You go to Maine, they have a different view of chowder. It's not that stuff that you think. It's not the floury, thick stuff that you can stand a spoon up in. It's very, it's a soup. It's delicious. It's fantastic.
It is. And coming off a boat ride, it's perfect. Mm-hmm. We sit down, and there are a couple of different tables we sit down at, and the conversation about podcasting, the world of podcasting, we start having. And we have it for maybe 40 minutes to an hour, depending on time. Mm-hmm. And 20 minutes of that is talking about the world of podcasting, how they're excited to honor their father with this podcast.
What they're doing it for. You have mentioned that it's the legacy of HW, yes, 41.
The show will be called All the Best. We are in heavy production right now as we speak. So,
okay.
Mm-hmm. And we will announce when we actually release here on the show, Mike.
Love to get somebody on the show to talk about it.
Please.
Love to do that.
We'll
that
be done.
Would be great.
Absolutely. All right. And then they have what any family would have. They had family conversations, which I will not divulge here, but I was honored to be a part of, and the level of trust that is given to have these conversations within the family.
I'm glad they allowed you to come in and talk about it, because I think it's a great story, and
yes,
it's great to hear. And I appreciate the family letting you do that. I know that's not common practice either. So to the Bush family, salute from your boy here, mm-hmm, because really, that's just terrific. I think this is so
sweet. And when we're done, everyone wants to get ice cream. And I could tell that a part of the family was like not going to get ice cream. Mm-hmm. So I didn't want to be a toddler. And I said, I'll just hang back with you guys. And
right.
I will stick with this core group that's, mm-hmm, close to the boat.
Did you tell them you were lactose intolerant?
No, I did not say that.
No, I'm just kidding.
I did not want to make a big deal out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started hanging out, and I tried to take in this little town that I'd never been to. It's beautiful.
You're probably in Kennebunkport, probably.
Yeah. I'll look on a map, and I'll figure that out.
okay.
But again, you just want to play your position.
Right.
I play my position. I take a few pictures. I was like, hey, I can take a picture of you and so-and-so and the family, take a few pictures of the people. And then they said, we're going to go to the restroom. I hang out. I was like, I'll just hang out here, wait for the family to come back. And then I'm standing there alone, just taking a few pics, taking it all in. And Neil, who, by the way, and Marvin, who just were so kind. But Neil walks down. The entire family, just 10 out of 10, walks down and sees me standing alone near the dock, and he's like, oh, like they left you? I'm like, no. A couple people went to the store, and a couple people went down the restroom. I'm just going to hang out. Mm-hmm. I just want to make sure that. And he goes, have you had any pictures taken of, do you want any pictures for yourself? And I said, no, it's okay. Like, I don't want to put anybody out.
Right.
He goes, no. You got to come with me. There's a drawbridge, a small people drawbridge.
Right.
And he goes, if you're here, you got to take a picture. It's iconic. So he walks me up to this bridge and says, and takes a couple snapshots.
Awesome.
I didn't need that. Like, it was just.
Nope. That's cool.
So
that's
nice.
That's fantastic.
Right?
That's great. I love that.
Super nice. And
you didn't throw up and you didn't fall off the boat.
No.
Didn't do anything
Get
like
back
that.
On the boat, right. Shoot back, and it is the same game. Like, perfect, flying, mm-hmm, across the water, arrive, and then, what is it? It's low tide, so.
Right.
They're like, we got to get the dinghy. Mike, I know your world of the dinghy.
Yeah, you have to anchor the boat and bring a dinghy in, right?
Yes.
That's the way. Because you can't bring the boat up to the dock unless it's high tide.
No.
I get it. I know how that
so
works.
So the dinghy is brought over, and it was, like, it doesn't matter how powerful a family you are. It doesn't matter where, a dinghy is a dinghy. Wooden dinghy, you got to get in, get out. But we have to offload 12 people.
So it takes a while.
Mm-hmm. Just fun, how everybody's patient, nobody's bitching about it. Everyone's like, all right, no one's saying, hey, like, you go first.
Mm-hmm.
We get off, get onto the water. I don't fall in the drink, because a dinghy, doesn't matter how big it is or how small it is, you don't want to tip it over. So
well,
I'm very
it's a
careful.
Small dinghy then.
Yeah,
it's not like a motorized.
Yes, no. It's a.
They row in?
Yeah, they row in. We row in.
Wow.
Right? We get off. I tell the team, I was like, look, I have some more equipment in the car. He goes, just drive the car up. Next time, just drive the car up to the driveway, the home's driveway. So I grab my car, I say hi to the Secret Service again, as they see me walking through this path, I'm like, hey, I'm okay.
Hi, boys.
Don't mind me, I was here earlier. I'm sure I have some facial recognition that's picking me up. We're good to go. Grab the Volvo, pull up, get out, get into the home, start setting everything up. They're loving, we're talking to Rob Ford here in D.C. We have a direct connection. Everything's working out perfectly.
Now, the Secret Service is there, right? They're on campus?
Yes. So, and there are multiples. So
okay. That might mean something.
And
that either somebody's coming or somebody's there, right?
Yes. And as I'm putting the wires together, and this is not a big setup, but we did a lot of pre-planning to know where these cables were going to go and how much cable exactly we needed for certain setup.
Okay.
And then once the gear was cleared by the Secret Service, all of that had to be done. And through a bay window, I see the 43rd president of the United States.
W is there. See, that's what I was going to say. With the Secret Service, that means you've got a... Oh.
So...
Wow.
Wow. This is already cool. And I'm not going to push my luck. And I imagine right. this will happen in the future. But
so you just sort of pop up and look out the window and you see...
No, I'm sitting at a table working. And I have two family members to the left and right of me.
Right.
And I just had... That was my purview. I see through the bay window. Like I see...
Like, is he walking into the building?
He's there. He's talking to somebody in the distance. I could tell.
Right.
And I get kind of the nod of like, hey, do you want to go and say hello? But, Mike, we're in the middle of working. We're setting this broadcast up.
Oh, my God, the struggle. You didn't say no, did you?
I said, I'm not going to say no, but I want to make sure we get this right for your broadcast. And I know you're tight on time. Because they had something to do. So let's make sure we get this right. If this happens today, that's amazing. If it doesn't, it'll be next time. We'll make this. And she looked at me and said, thank you. Thank you for making this. It was the right move. It was the right move to make.
Okay.
It was the right move to make. Now, would it have been awesome? Yeah. But again, Mike, you're there for a mission, right? You want to make sure the mission, like the lunch was already wonderful.
Right.
The boat ride was unexpected. You right. want to make sure this is done correctly.
That you're doing your thing.
Yes, okay. We do this right. Right, you take care of your family, your Podcast Village family, and then you're good to go.
Okay.
So we do all of this, do the test. It goes great. Everyone's happy. We actually record a few liners for a couple of the shows we're working through. I should give a plug to Doro Bush's podcast. It's called Health Gig. It's about overall a wellness lifestyle, wellness podcast. Again, Health Gig, you can find it on any platform that has podcasts. And it's a phenomenal show.
Okay.
And this gear will be set up for all the best and Health Gig. But what's wonderful about that entire experience is as I'm walking out, it's like you see, because this is how classy this family is. She goes, I didn't want to forget. One, I want to take a few pictures with you. So we have some pictures mm-hmm. taken. And she gives me a hat that says 41 on there and says, we don't even make these anymore. I want to make sure that you have something. Thank you for coming up and making this a priority. I know that you have a family engagement. Wow. It was just such a nice, beautiful moment. And I just gave her a hug. I said, I'm happy I was able to take care of this family. And then now I'm going to go see my family. Thank you for making sure. Thank you for a wonderful afternoon. But also thank you for letting us be part of this project. And it literally, as I'm driving away, the entire family's on the tennis courts because they're practicing for some family tournament, but mm-hmm. not tennis, different game. And I'm driving away and everyone's just waving. I'm driving, the Atlantic is to the right of me, the courts and the cottages are to the left of me, and just what a surreal experience.
Wow. And so you got the work done, and
the work came before
43.
Yeah.
Was 43 on the what game were they practicing?
It's a
pickleball?
Yes. Boom.
It was pickleball.
Yes.
Yeah, pickleball, the Bushman Cole.
They have a pickleball tournament annually, and they are competitive.
That is awesome.
For the family.
Was 43.
Oh, yeah,
43 was down playing pickleball? You got away from 43?
Got away from the entire family. They're like,
you're a better man than I am.
That's just how polite they
are. I'm going to say that. You are a better man than I am. If they said, would you like to? Yeah, all right, hey, it would have been exciting to, it's always exciting to meet a president.
Yeah,
very, very cool.
But I just, you got to get the work done.
Yeah.
You got to get the work done.
Yeah.
And if you do good work, we've learned, Mike.
If it had been Robbie, would have said, can I stay the night? Can I stay the night and I'll make pancakes for everybody. Yeah. You get the parameters.
Yes.
You get that. That's why you're there. And you'll have other opportunities.
Yeah, I would hope so.
Did you meet Laura Bush, the wife of 43?
I did not.
Okay. All right. But you hung out with the fam and then
yes.
you were on the boat. That's just spectacular. That's spectacular. I love
and,
that.
And fast forward through the week, I get back to my brother's 50th. Right on time, suit on and all. Baptism is fantastic. Go to Cape Cod. We go to Martha's Vineyard for the day. And on the corner of somewhere in Edgartown, I see what are three SUVs that look like they're Secret Service. And I was like, oh, I wonder if President Obama's here. Right. And for a while, they're idling. I'm not making a big deal. I've got Santos the dog. I've got a hat on. I don't want to make a big deal out of this.
Was it Obama?
It was the former first lady, looked like a family member, and the daughters came out of a restaurant.
Michelle Obama?
Yes. Jumped in the SUV.
You see Michelle Obama and 41 in the same week.
And 43, yes, yes.
43, yes, 43. Yes, yes. That is so cool.
Surreal.
Really?
Surreal.
Go pitch her on a podcast. Go ahead. Pitch her on a podcast and say, well, go ahead. Yeah. Turn that down, please. Thank you. That's one. Congratulations.
Quite
what an incredible time.
Quite the week.
Boy, well, I feel like I don't have anything to offer other than, news you may not need coming up next. And so it's really, I got to be honest with you, folks, it's really not all that good compared to Oscar's story. But I'm going to do it anyway, so F it. We'll take a break, and we'll be back with more fun on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Well, if we've learned anything at all today is Oscar likes to say the word rube. And he certainly felt like a rube there. But what a great story. What a good guy. And fun, right? I love Oscar telling that story. He's a good storyteller. Now, let's finish up today's episode. We go back a few years. This is our 8th anniversary when we're observing the 8th anniversary of the podcast formation of the Mike O'Mara Show. Just remember, we're back tomorrow with another episode of Brand New Best Of, curated, hosted by me, Rob Spiewak. All segments you're going to love. So I want to see your face in the place, okay? Very good. Now, our 8th anniversary and gifts. Oh, we love presents right here on the Best of the Mike O'Mara Show.
It is a special day on the Mike O'Mara Show, our 8-year anniversary, ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen,
the 8-year anniversary of the Mike O'Mara Show podcast and radio program.
Darling, happy anniversary.
Love has gone by. It seems like it was just yesterday that a band of rogue broadcasters, kicked to the curb by the CBS Broadcasting Corporation, wandered into a home in Manassas, Virginia, and started doing a podcast. But it has been 8 years, and I've enjoyed every moment of it, except for the year that I worked on The Edge and did the podcast.
As we call it, the ice cream cone era.
Yes.
That was the ice cream cone exhaustion era.
Yes. Yes.
That was not fun for me. I did not enjoy that. But every other, and then the new incarnation, which, what is our anniversary? Is it like 4?
I
three?
Think we're at 5.
May 23rd, the three of us?
I don't keep track of that, but May 23rd, 2013.
5.
14, 15, 16. So 4.
Yeah.
But Mike.
Wow.
The Mike O'Mara Show, 8 years, radio show, podcast.
And Mike, you and I, it's 25
years. It's fantastic.
Years.
Yeah, 25 years. It's great. I can't begin to thank people for supporting us. And normally we blow right by it. Mm-hmm. But I became, just looking at December 7th, I became aware of the fact that we have this wonderful anniversary. And congratulations to everybody associated with the show.
And to
it's
you.
Wonderful.
To you especially. With your name on the masthead?
No, to you especially. No.
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 Hey, how about this? Rob what? Ford.
Oh, my
yes.
God. A trailblazer.
Yes.
Yes.
He hitched his wagon to ours.
Neighbor of mine mentioned Rob Ford the other day, was chuckling about it.
Why?
Because people are listening a little bit down here.
That's good.
Which is pretty fun. And you know, was mentioning, who's that guy, Rob Ford? And I just said, well, there's another show on the network that has his mother on.
Yeah.
Wouldn't I love that grab? I would love that get.
Hey.
That would be super
take
special.
Take it easy, Matt Lauer. Don't go grabbing his mom.
Shirley comes in on the weekends, Mike.
A little later on.
You know what's
fact,
great is on that episode of the Perkins Show, she calls him Robert.
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 Like he's somebody.
I just can picture him coming down to the breakfast table going, hello, mother.
Hello,
mother.
Hello, Robert.
I was really hoping that I would get the special egg and hat and coat this morning.
No, this morning, Robert, is cream of wheat.
Oh, mother.
I love hanging out with Rob so much because his life is so horrible. It makes me feel better about mine.
Well, is he still living with is he still living in sin?
Yes.
Well, in full disclosure, I'll say something, and I know Rob, like, this is how we engage. We'll be like, tinkering with wires or pulling things left and right, and he will say to me, hey, You think that's bad, and then whatever comes afterwards is like 10 times worse than my life, whether it's his dog.
Kind of like the old Kevin Nealon bit, stabbing himself. Yeah, you ever had that? I cut my hand off. Or
so,
you ever put your hand in a buzzsaw?
I said something about Santos and my girl just being obsessed, and he's like, well, at least you're not going to Mount Vernon for puppy dog Christmas card pictures. And I said, Mount Vernon?
And, you know, the worst.
Do you get the impression that Rob Ford, in his personal life, is just totally non-confrontational?
Oh, yeah.
That he just goes with the flow?
Yes.
I think he's happy to be in a relationship.
He wants to be mommied.
Yeah.
But we've established the fact that he's a renowned pouter. He pouts a lot. You know, we know that, right? I mean, we've seen him pout before, so we know that he's got those negative emotions. He's so jolly, and then someone will say something that pushes him in the wrong direction, and he'll go off into a corner and he'll pout.
You would pout too if your significant other beat you.
Yes.
Well, that's right. Yeah. The altercation.
It's rare, but it's happened.
He can make a fortune if he set up a hotline. Just a hotline for people to call and be like, hey, man, how's your day going? Your day will feel better if you call that hotline.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know how our 8th anniversary turned into a discussion of Rob Ford, but it did.
Polarizing.
And that's the way the show goes. By the way, as we go to tape today, Al Franken, to the best of my knowledge, has not resigned of yet. Is that correct?
Keep tabs on it.
Not yet. Keep monitoring it. I'd like to know what's going on.
As I'm driving in, they just said that he had an announcement, but they didn't know what it was going to be.
Yeah, that was kind of last night's news as well, and we'll see what happens
with
that.
What if he got in front of that huge press corps and said, in 2018, there's going to be a new Stuart Smalley movie?
The Smalleys.
That is the way your brain works, isn't it?
Wouldn't that be a good use of the media for him, though?
Air America's coming back.
Oh. No, that won't happen.
Call Mark Maron.
So, Rob Spiewak, let me ask you this.
Yes.
We have some sort of gift. Is that true today?
Indeed, we do. It is gift season, Mike.
And it is the gift season. I want to thank everybody
gifts.
That's Michael's getting a lot of gifts, and I want to thank all the listeners. I'll have a list that I'm putting together, and I'm trying to contact people personally.
That's very kind.
Phone calls, letters, texts,
smoke signals,
posting on social media.
Something.
The P1iest of P1s, Tony Lamb,
stopped
by our studio yesterday bearing gifts, and one of them had a letter attached, and I will read it
so
at this
sweet.
Point.
You know, when he was a baby, he was a little lamb. Thank you, Rob. Every now and then I do Spiewak humor.
I'm not gonna lie. Okay. I hate that I love it.
Dear Mike, Rob, Oscar, and Pony, with the Mike O'Mara Show celebrating its 8th year of busting each other's balls, members of the TMOS Beer Enthusiast Club wanted to write and convey our appreciation for all the funny you've provided over the years. Every day, you guys come in and key those mics, and through the darkness of the world comes the light of comedy. As a token of our gratitude, please accept this box of beer curated by members of the TMOS Beer Enthusiast Club who get it. Every beer in this box has been hand-selected by the members of the club.
You know, you could slow your reading down. I'm going to critique you right now. I think you need to slow down. You don't have to race through these. You know?
Enunciate.
How's that?
Enunciate.
So they gave us beer.
Yes.
Very good. Try it like from this point. How much more is left? About a half a page?
Two sentences.
Try to read the sentences in a more dramatic fashion.
Every beer in this box.
No, don't exaggerate the slow. Just
was drama.
All right.
Let me take it again. I'm sorry. Every beer in this box has been hand selected by members of the club to pair well with snark, freshly cultivated sounds, and Bolivian misogyny. We've also included a bottle of gin, since ponies don't drink beer, but can still benefit from the calming properties of alcohol. Here's to many years of DGH. Signed, cheers, Matthew Preissner, Jeff Brown, Eric Quick, Vince Badali, Tony Lamb, Liz Urban, J.R. Riffless, Drew Slate, and the rest of the TMOS Beer Enthusiast Club. And they sent beer literally from around the nation, and it's all in our fridge. But there's a few cornerstone beers that I'd like to spotlight, if that's okay.
Well, this is exciting.
The fridge was working overtime yesterday.
The fridge was actually loud yesterday because there was so much beer to cool. Here is the
Was it as loud as the wood chipper they have down here in Cocoonville?
Almost as loud. I will tell you, we actually had a discussion about moving the fridge to another area because it's so loud.
Really?
It might have been because I guess when you put a tonnage of beer in there,
it's got to cool it.
It's got to cool it. It's got to work hard.
You know, if we move the wood chipper to another part of the community, it takes a long time because it's on tracks. It's on like
it's literally on tracks.
It's on tank tracks.
Oh, that's treads. How they move the thing. Like treads, right?
So cool. Yesterday, you hear that you always know when a big tree's going in because it goes. And at one point, I'm going to be out there. I'm going to be out walking around Cocoonville, and you're going to hear, oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Beluga. I'm so sorry.
Oh, my. Oh, Beluga. You wouldn't even, it wouldn't break a sweat. You wouldn't even hear Beluga in that. If Beluga was put into that chipper, it would sound like this. That would be it.
Like a mothball.
Sounds like a win. Sounds like a win-win.
Probably wouldn't even notice it in the mulch pile. That's he's terrible. Brown. That's terrible. No, he's black.
Oh.
All I see
he's
is
black. He's black as midnight with gray. Black with gray, Pony, but thanks
all
for
I
pointing.
Can see
I'll
is
send you a picture.
On the top of that pile of mulch is one solitary collar.
No, it would chew up the collar. Maybe not.
No,
might not chew
no,
up the collar.
I don't think so.
But you hear this.
Yay!
Yipe onk.
Yank.
Yank.
That's what it would sound like.
Pony, here is your bottle of gin.
Thank you.
Bombay Sapphire. Not
that's
too
good stuff, right, Pony?
Yeah, that's great.
Flashy.
For Carl Oscar like is a bottle of Modelo's Cerveza. It's a can, rather, of Modelo's Cerveza Chelada. And it says it's Tamarindo Picante, which I believe is a spicy mix of beer and tomato juice.
Yes, it is. Thank you. Yes. Cartoon-sized.
I wouldn't drink that. Oh, oh man. No. Talk about something I drink in the morning
great
after
for fight
and make
night.
Me throw up. Fight night.
Here is a bottle of smoked ale with oranges.
Oh, can I just interrupt one thing when you talk about fight night? So Oscar's other radio partner who refuses to come on this program,
yes.
He said he put a thread up that was... I'm thinking about opening a store. What should I sell?
Mm-hmm.
And I was reading all the people saying snacks and UFC merchandise and all this. I so wanted to get. I didn't do it because I just didn't know whether I should.
Yeah.
I wanted to get on there and go candles. Anyway, that's what I wanted.
He's
to say.
He's really
I
just, into candles.
Yeah, he loves the Yankee
is he
candles.
Into candles?
He's like obsessed with candles. You should type candles.
Do you think that's a trend with people in the business?
Oh my God!
Disc jockeys love candles.
What is this? What is it? Oh, it's spiced apple toddy.
What type of candle?
That's the one that you burned yourself on yesterday.
Spiced apple toddy.
Is it a Yankee candle?
It is not. It is a specially discounted Bed Bath Bath and Body Works scented candle.
Ooh.
Where they had the super sale the other day, and there were more house frows in this store, and I had to drive Carla by there because they have a 1 day sale, and they send out the push notification about it, and then you have 1 day to get the candles at like 10% of what they normally cost.
Wow!
And you just see these. I won't say it. These women coming out with big bags full of candles.
I
like them. They smell good.
You know, it's a good way to keep a studio smelling sweet.
We do have a nice candle in here.
And sometimes a studio is challenged in that way.
For the dude smell.
Mm. Yeah, my studio isn't because I don't have tons of people in here. And I smell like daisies. You know,
always.
I smell like Dove.
Larry King fan for you.
Larry King blowing the farts out.
That's the bonus show. Good teaser, though.
Oscar's tipping his hand. Okay. Oh, hey, we're running out of time.
Okay, I got a bottle of Rob Roy, which is a beer equivalent of a Rob Roy. This is a smoked rye ale with oranges and cherries aged in rye vanilla barrels, and they put an extra B on it. So it's a Rob with two Bs, Roy.
That's Rob Roy was a character of Irish history, too.
And speaking of which, your beer, Mike, is... Smiling Irish Bastard.
Woo. Oh, look at that. Oh,
and I'll be sending that down in your care package next week.
Yeah, hold that can up to the camera because I haven't seen the can.
Police brutality.
I haven't seen the can. Yes, okay,
get it,
Mac.
Brutality.
All right, let me see. There he is. There he is, based on the cop that was up there, which was the Smiling Irish Bastard.
Yeah.
There it is.
So
that's
we want to thank
stuff.
Them. They also wrote some individual notes and sent some stickers from the Idaho Poor Authority. So thank you, Beer Enthusiast Club.
Thank
we
you,
do
what's the Idaho Poor Authority?
It is a organization of beer enthusiasts in Sandpoint, Idaho, and they sent some stickers.
What did the Whiskey Society do for us? Wait, let me look. Oh, nothing.
Crickets.
Oh, absolutely nothing.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MikeOMaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara Radio Entertainment.